headed right into the danger zone. We're rumormillnews.com on the web, and I'm going to be your guide for this trip into the danger zone. Welcome to Rumor Mill News Radio. That's rumormillnewsradio.com on the Micro Effect Radio Network, themicroeffect.com on the World Wide Web. Our special guest for this hour is Dr. Deneen Peterson. She's an author who writes and speaks about the coming North American Union, the NAU. Her articles, published on a variety of online news journals and chronicles, are heavily researched and referenced with clickable URLs that will take you directly to the source material. Her accompanying photos and graphics add vivid exposés. All of her articles can be found archived on StopTheNorthAmericanUnion.com. At one time, Dr. Peterson was a professor at both Temple and Jefferson Universities in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where she taught behavioral science, research methodology, and statistics. After leaving academia, she created and directed the first Department of Research and Program Evaluation for Big Brothers and Big Sisters of America's National Office in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where she worked with some 512 agencies in all 50 states. Welcome, Dr. Peterson.
Well, thank you so much. That was a great introduction.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Your site is one of the most well-documented sites that exists on the Internet. And I know that you, as a researcher, you're not going to put up anything unless you have checked it 15 different ways. And I just need to thank you for all of the research that you have done and how you have alerted the American people to this growing danger of Mexico, the United States, Canada, one country. I can't be dreaming. Is this really what you're talking about? This sounds like something out of Orwell.
I wish it was, to tell you the truth. No, it's very true, and most people know about the European Union, and that's what they plan on here. They've already created a South American Union. They want to roll us over and create the North American Union, and then they're going to combine the North and South Americas together into an Americas with an S.
Yes.
They took them 55 years to create the European Union. I have an article on my website. It's linked right to the top of my homepage that tells you that it took 55 years to create the European Union, and it's only going to take them 15 years to create the North American Union, they hope. Hopefully, we're going to stop them.
What in the world can we do to stop them? I mean, look what happened on Tuesday to us.
$64,000 question. Many people are working in many arenas. One of the things about the North American Union is it isn't a single thing. It began, just as the European Union did, by the way, with a free trade agreement. Ours was signed in 1994, the NAFTA agreement, which was followed by an escalation of NAFTA, which some people call NAFTA on steroids, in 2004, which is 10 years after that NAFTA agreement was signed. In Waco, Texas, the heads of state of Canada, Mexico, and the United States, which was Fox, Martin, and, of course, Bush, got together and signed an agreement called the SPP, or Security Prosperity Partnership. And from that, in our case, the president went back to his office and tasked every single department in the federal branch to create task forces. And their job is to do the one thing that most people don't understand or see or hear about, was to work jointly with both Canada and Mexico to rewrite all of our what is called bureaucratic or administrative law in this country, which has been 230 years in development and accumulation. And actually, most people will bureaucratic and administrative sounds rather high level, but you and I know it as regulatory law, the regulation of what and how you create products in this country, or abuse or not the environment, etc. And again, developed over 230 years. They're going to take that and harmonize it. And when you think of the word harmonizing, you have to remember the first three letters, H-A-R-M, because it will harm all of us. Their goal is to make it so that these laws will be as least restrictive as possible to the corporate entities that are controlled by them. To give you an example of what it will be like not to have those controls or those regulatory law in place, think about the dog food that came from China that poisoned our dogs, the toys that children get with lead paint on them, which is not allowed here in this country, and the seafood that was treated with all kinds of nasty things, harmful to humans, and tires that fly apart when they're not properly vulcanized and so on. That's because they're not conforming to a regulatory law in China. Either they don't have the law or it's just ignored. Well, what's going to happen here is they're going to make it legal requirement through this task forces between the three countries to make it as least restrictive as possible, and so that the corporations won't have to spend too much money conforming to regulatory law. Another part of the North American Union is the open borders. A lot of people wonder how we could get an invasion of 30-some million illegal aliens invading our country and the government not putting the military on the border or enforcing our immigration laws, which they're doing either. Well, that's because it creates a de facto open border, which they require as part of the North American Union. Another component part of it is the creation of corridors. Most people know about the Trans-Texas Corridor, TTC 35. That's just one of dozens of corridors, most of them going north and south, but then having connecting east to west connections to them.
They're going to
take over our interstate roads and do that.
Can you describe what these corridors are going to look like? I saw a drawing of them, and it is just amazing. How wide is that corridor going to be?
Well, you take four football fields and stick them end to end, and you will see that's how wide they will be. They're going to have six lanes of traffic, three north, three south for autos, four lanes of traffic, two north and two south for trucks. They're going to have, I believe, three rail lines. One will be freight, one will be passenger, and I don't know what the third one is, but I think there is a third one. Then they'll have a major area set aside for all kinds of utilities, electricity, gas, oil, whatever else they want to put in the ground to,
What is going to happen to the cities and the people who are living on that land?
They're going to be dispossessed. I mean, a lot of people were very upset when the Supreme Court made the Kelo decision. That was a decision about the ability of government to take private property. In the past, that was done only for public use, okay? Not for private entities. And what they're doing now is these roads are actually being built by foreign countries. They're going to be toll roads. They're going to take over our free interstate highways, in the case of TTC 30, the Trans-Texas Corridor 35, is actually I-35, which bisects our country from the very top to the very bottom, almost exactly halfway between the east and the west coast. They're going to make it that wide. They're going to take people's property. More than 1 million acres will be taken in Texas alone for this event. It's going to be owned by foreigners. It's going to be a toll road. It's going to be controlled by foreigners, which is an absolute violation of our sovereignty and of our protection from, whomever. I mean, if something bad goes here in the country and foreigners are in charge of our roads, where does that leave us?
The
whole purpose of the interstate highway, according to Eisenhower, was for military reasons.
Absolutely. If you think about what just happened on Tuesday and how we voted, most of the blue states are on the coasts. Most of the red states are right in the middle. And do you realize that the red states are being divided by this corridor? So it's almost like we're going to be made. What are they going to do with the states? Are the states even going to exist anymore?
No, they'll be regionalized. The states which are sovereign, our states in the United States are sovereign. In fact, the people of the United States are sovereign people. But people need to look up that word sovereignty to understand what it really means, because it is the heart of the debate. A sovereign country, a sovereign state, and a sovereign person. And that's what's being taken from us. If you look at the Federal Reserve map in the last newsletter I put out, those are the regions the country's already divided into, which is what I believe the regions will be eventually for the United States. The thing about it is that they're doing the same thing in the European Union. Again, I wrote an article called The EU and the NAU, Two Peas in a Pod, and that's because everything they did, which took 55 years to create the European Union, as I said, will be done in 15 years here in our country. But it is the blurring of nationalities, the blurring of your physical borders. It's the blurring of your sovereignty, little by little, eroded over time. And that's how they're doing this. And eventually the goal is not to have a European Union and a North American or an America's Union or an Asian Union and an African Union. The object is, in the end, to have a single one world government.
Okay, so, now when we look at what is being done for the corporatists, this is textbook fascism. Mm-hmm. Now, to me, we've just elected someone whose background is not fascist, but communist. What's going to happen here?
Well, one of the things that people have to understand is, for instance, Nazism was the National Socialist Party. Communism was Marxist, Leninist, Communist, Mao Zedong, and all of that. The fact of the matter is they're all totalitarian police, collective police states. It doesn't matter what label you pin on them. Corporatists,
fascist.
Nazis, communism, fascist. You know, they're all the same. And when we distill them down to their general structure, they're all totalitarian police states, every one of them. And that's where we're going.
Mm-hmm. And so the little people are going to end up with virtually no freedoms, no rights, and we are going to become the slaves of the New World Order Corporation, which is what they have been pushing for literally since 1695, when they took over England's, when they made England their first colony.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is what you are describing. And of course, in my opinion, you're the only one who is really talking about this. I mean, you'll be a guest on various radio shows and, you know, we'll hear about it for a week or so, but there's nobody else. Well, I think Lou Dobbs has talked about this once on CNN, but he is the only person I have seen besides yourself that even knows what's going on. What do you say about that?
Well, the thing of it is that's another component part of the North American Union. In fact, anything they want to do to create what they call the New World Order, which, of course, is a lie. It's really a one world order. And I'll give you this is a little interesting sidebar to what we just mentioned, New World Order, one world order, and where we're going with it. There was a monument created in Washington, D.C., in a park dedicated to monuments to Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Now, you can love them or hate them, and most people fall on either side of that divide. Very few fall in the gray area in between. But there was a monument, the last monument that was put in there was during the Clinton administration, and Clinton went there for the dedication of it. What was interesting is, in all the write-ups about the dedication, no one mentioned this gigantic, probably 2-foot by 6-foot carving in the back wall, surrounded by, looked like giant cinder blocks on three sides. And then there's a picture of, there's a bronze statue of Franklin Delano Roosevelt sitting in a chair with a cape draped around him, goes all the way to the floor. And at his feet is his dog, Fala, which was a Scottish Terrier. But on the back wall is this. It says, "They who seek to establish systems of government based on the regimentation of all human beings by a handful of individual rulers, call this a new order." Now, I substitute new world order because that's the new jargon they're using. And it goes on to say, it is not new and it is not order. And so he's warning us. He's warning us from the grave.
Well, and who in the world put that on the back of that? I mean, somebody in our government had to have authorized it. How in the world did it even get by?
I don't think it was a government venture. This is a private, I guess, foundation or whatever that runs that park. It's actually in Arlington, Virginia. It's not in D.C. itself. But it's a major attraction, I'm sure. I mean, I know that there's at least a dozen monuments in there about the life and the conditions and things that went on during the Franklin Delano Roosevelt presidency.
Now, and, do you know if he wrote that himself or did somebody else write that? It sounds like something.
I believe that he wrote it, and I'll tell you why, because I do have documentation of two other statements he's made, which under which I call, before I started using the term Illuminati, which I use now to denote them collectively. We have what was called, has been called for more than 60 or 70 years, the shadow government.
Right.
And the shadow government included statements, I included statements in it that were by Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and this is one of them. In a letter to an associate dated November 21st, 1933, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt wrote, quote, "The real truth of the matter is, as you and I know, that a financial element in the large centers has owned the government ever since the days of Andrew Jackson." Well, he was wrong on that. They really have owned us all the way back since the beginning of our country.
Well, that's what I believe also.
Absolutely.
England was the first colony for these, I call them the Lords of Londinium, and they were, England was their first colony, and America was their second colony.
Yeah, we're crown colonies, all of us.
Yeah, we are. But the crown isn't Elizabeth. The crown is whoever is the head of the City of London.
That's correct. A lot of people don't know that either. And the Queen has to get permission to come there.
I know. People don't even realize that. She has to go up on the up to the door and knock and ask permission to be let in.
That's correct.
City of London, which is a... It's like the Vatican, for people who don't know. The Vatican, the City of London, and Washington, D.C. are the three capitals of the world. One's the religious, one's the economic, and one's the military. And
we're the military. Mm-hmm.
And we are the military. We're the Hessians.
The whole thing is the shadow government has been talked about by very famous, prominent senators, by heads of Supreme Court, by David Rockefeller and others. He doesn't mention the shadow government, but there's things that he said that you understand why the shadow government exists. People don't. It's treason. All of it's treason. No doubt about it.
It absolutely is. You talked in one of your articles about the two most treasonous things that have happened in our time. I'm trying to think exactly what it is.
That's what I'm talking about.
What were
the article I wrote? Pardon?
I said yes. Can you tell us what those two acts of tyranny on the same day were?
Yes, I most certainly can, and they probably, again, it's treason personified. I did want to mention one thing about the word corridors, and I did mention corridors. The media, of course, the propaganda, that's another part of the North American Union, having to do with what I call omerta, which is Italian for silence, and, of course, the propaganda besides that. And then there's one other component to the North American Union, and that is the selling of our infrastructure across the United States. It's roads, bridges, tunnels, schools, hospitals, prisons. They're all being sold. They're not being sold to Americans, by the way. They're being sold to foreigners.
Yeah,
who come with lots of money that they've stolen from us all over the world. But
right.
The word corridor is kind of significant. This is very typical of the Illuminati. What they will do is they will use terms that you and I say, well, they're going to build a corridor over there. Well, you and I think, well, that's just a road. Or a superhighway. That's what a lot of people call it, the NAFTA superhighway, the TTC 35 coming up through Texas. Well, no, it's not. If you go to the dictionary and you read the secondary definition for corridor, it'll knock your socks off. It is as follows. A corridor is defined as a strip of land or an airspace forming a passageway through foreign-held land, as from a country to its seaport, as in the case of this Trans-Texas Corridor 35 actually begins in Lower Mexico on the Pacific Coast, at the very bottom of the coast, and will come up through Texas, right on up through our country, out the top, and then branch to the right and to the left and go to the Atlantic coast of Canada and the Pacific coast of Canada, like a Y, a lot sort of flattened Y. A lot of people don't know this. This is a little sidebar. during the Clinton administration, I'm sorry, not the Clinton, but the Carter administration, there was this committee called the Linowitz Committee. And a part of that committee was a man by the name of Dr. Robert Pastor. And he is what I call the Pied Piper of the North American Union. He's the one that put out the book, before the Security Prosperity Partnership was signed, put out the book called the North American Community. Of course, it'll never be a community. It might be a union, but it'll never be a community. And back then, in the Carter administration, he was on this committee, and he was responsible, him and others on the Linowitz Committee, for convincing our Congress to sell the Panama Canal, to get rid of the Panama Canal.
Oh, wonderful.
They didn't sell it. In fact, they actually paid a communist dictator of that country to take the Panama Canal, mm-hmm. and paid them $400 million to take it. Well, at the time, I'm up in the years, and I felt to myself, oh, my God, what are they doing that for? You know, all the blood and treasure we've spent creating the Panama Canal,
yeah,
and it's a thing that allows the East Asian part of the world to get over to our East Coast. And so I thought, why did they do that? And I said, well, the government knows what they're doing. They know things that I don't know. And so I just sort of left it go. Well, now today I know why they did that. They did it because they knew then that they were going to build three ports in the lower and bottom of Mexico on the Pacific side, bring their container ships there, bypass the West Coast, which is where they come in now, and lots of people make, their living on, container shipments on the West Coast. So then cut them out. They're going to bring them into Mexico, use cheap Mexican labor, cheap Mexican trucking, cheap Mexican trains. They're going to come straight up through Mexico into our country on TTC 35, and there's several others. There's the Canamex Highway, which comes up through Arizona, and there's Ports to Plains Highway. These will all bisect our country north to south, and they will come into our country, and they won't be inspected at the border. All the shipments won't be inspected until they get to Kansas City. They have a thing called the Kansas City Smart Port. You see how they use the words, folks? Smart Port.
Smart Port.
and I'm thinking to myself when I saw that, the Chinese have no love for us. What's to prevent them from, and they're building at least one, and I believe possibly two, of the three ports that are going to be down there in the lower portion of Mexico. What's to prevent them in these containers for filling them with tanks and people and dirty bombs and all kinds of military armament? I mean, they've already sent a couple of containers to the West Coast ports with Chinese inside of them. I believe that was a test to see if they could live from China to here.
I believe so also. I believe, that when we turned over the Long Beach shipyards to the Chinese, I think this started happening way back then. I tell people that here in my own little tiny community, about 10 years ago, one of the Chinese owners of a Chinese restaurant that I loved, it was one I went to, was indicted for smuggling just massive amounts of AK-47s into this country. Why did he need cargo containers full of these weapons? This made the news in the San Francisco area maybe 1 week, and we'd never heard any more of it. If I hadn't read the newspaper, I wouldn't even know about it. And so,
it was in the newspaper.
I know it. Well, I think it was one of those mistakes. It somehow got out. One of the things that I encourage people to do is start a local newspaper. Put together a bunch of retired friends, pool your money, start a newspaper, because that's the only way you're going to find out anything.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully...
The people that are fighting the EU... are doing that in Britain. That's one of the things they said. Of course, we have here the alternative radio like you are, and some alternative media, but nothing to even come close to the mainstream media. But in Britain, that's what they did. They said that's exactly the main, and I thought it was a really great idea, because you aren't going to get the real news. I mean, the television was one of the most magnificent inventions to come forward in the 20th century. Unfortunately, it has been used for very diabolical purposes. I have not watched my television for more than 2 years, and I intend to never watch it until something changes in this country.
Well, the only reason I ever watch it is to know what the enemy is putting in the minds of the populace, because mm-hmm. how can you counteract it if you don't know what's there? So that's why I watch it. Oh, God, I wish
that's
I didn't
true.
Have to.
That's, yep, mm-hmm, that's very true. Because I will say this, it is amazing if people would just do this little test, turn off their television for 2 weeks or 3 weeks or a month and go, and then turn it back on. You will see so much of their propaganda and their sly, devious ways that will shock you. I also tell people, you know what? If you stand in front of your television newscast at night and talk back to it, you're talking back to the television set because you're being propagandized.
Well, if you can hear the music, I'm afraid I got to go out and go to work for the company store to pay for this. So we'll be back after I put in a few minutes in the company store. Back to where we began. Hello, this is Braylon Allen, and I'm the publisher of Rumor Mill News. That's rumormillnews.com on the web, and I'm your guide on this trip into the danger zone. You're listening to Rumor Mill News Radio on the Micro Effect Radio Network. That's the microeffect.com. And we're talking with Dr. Deneen Peterson of StopTheNorthAmericanUnion.com. StopTheNorthAmericanUnion.com. Deneen, I notice that on December 7th, 2006, you posted this article, Two Acts of Tyranny on the Same Day. And yes, these two acts should have been a date that would live in infamy, as you wrote. The first was the signing of the Military Commissions Act of 2006. And the second was signed as the John Warner National Defense Authorization Act, NDAA of 2007. And John Warner now finally retires from the Senate. What are these two acts about? What did they do to us? How did they gut our sovereignty?
Well, they're really quite extraordinary and very, very frightening. I hope if people can't follow me, they'll go to my website and read that article, Two Acts of Tyranny on the Same Day. It's called Acts because both of these were acts, legislative acts that were signed into law on the same day. And yes, I purposely did post it on December the 7th for that reason because of the, the two acts of tyranny, the first one was the Military Commissions Act. That's the one he signed first, and that was the Military Commissions Act of 2006. And the thing about it was that what it did was it created a category called unlawful enemy combatants. And what they did first, though, was to remove our right to habeas corpus. Now, habeas corpus came about because of the fact that they didn't ever want anybody in this country to be able to be thrown into jail and not have any recourse if they weren't charged with anything. In other words, there's none of this throw them in jail and throw away the key. You can't do that because we have access to the writ of habeas corpus. Well, we did have access to the writ of habeas corpus. That was eliminated in this act. It is so stunning that that was allowed to happen and never be challenged. And our Congress, the both houses, voted overwhelmingly for this, and the president, of course, signed it into law.
I know most of us who know about this just still can't even believe that it really did happen. We're thinking that, oh, no, Congress must be working on something to get it back. No, they're not. Not that
no,
I know
sorry.
Of.
Well, that's right.
No, go ahead.
It's incredible. It's incredible to think that 385 people in the House and another 100 people in the Senate and agreed to this. I mean, the only thing that you can deduce from that is that they're corrupt. They're just simply corrupted. They're either compromised they're either bribed or compromised or threatened. A lot of them are threatened, by the way. That is a very important ingredient.
No, that's absolutely right. Years ago, my husband Gunter told me that governments around the world, if they can buy them, they buy them. If somebody's only out for money, they just buy them. If they can blackmail them, they blackmail them. If they don't have blackmail material on them, they create blackmail material on them. And and then there's the threats. If there is no blackmail material and there's no possibility of creating any, like with Ron Paul, they threaten you. I mean, look what happened to Ron Paul's wife. How do we know that he wasn't told, back off, don't run on a third party, or she's dead and the rest of your family's wiped out in a plane crash? And this is
the way. Absolutely. And you know, I think that very same thing happened to Ross Perot too.
Yeah, it absolutely happened to him. I was, we were negotiating with Ross Perot at the time that he was running for president, and we had people inside his office that gave us a eyewitness report of what happened when the 20 armed people, crashed through the door, went into his office, and told him that if he doesn't back out, they start killing his family. And so he came out and said his daughter was, had been threatened, her wedding, somebody, they made up some story. And the press just absolutely crucified him. And but he did get back into the race. But the only way he got back into the race was he surrounded his entire family with bodyguards. And that's the way that it had to be. If he had not dropped out, we would have had Ross Perot as president when Bill Clinton came in. And, we just might have been able to save this country back then.
That's true. I agree with you on that. To get back to the writ of habeas corpus and how important it is a part of our Constitution. And it states specifically that the... in Article 1, Section 9 of the U.S. Constitution, it says, quote, the privilege of habeas corpus shall not be suspended. Now, shall not be is a legal term which says it can't be, and yet it has been done, and a Congress voted for it, and it's now law of our country, and it's not been contested. But the other part of that Military Commissions Act was the fact that in it is the unlawful enemy combatant. Where an unlawful enemy combatant is defined this way. Now, first, I must preamble this with the fact that a lot of people are saying, "Oh, these unlawful enemy combatants—they're those guys in the orange suits over there in Guantanamo Bay." Oh, but no, they're not. This is going to be a quote right out of the bill. This is the definition. It says a person does not say an illegal alien. Or a combatant in Guantanamo Bay, it says a person who has engaged in hostilities or who has purposefully and materially supported hostilities against the United States or its co-belligerents, who is not a lawful enemy combatant. And guess who a lawful enemy combatant is? A lawful enemy combatant is someone who's part of the Taliban, the Al-Qaeda, or associated forces. What they're saying here is that you will be designated an unlawful enemy combatant should you decide to protest against this government. That's really what it's saying. And that's why it says a person.
I think that every single one of us who is protesting against the New World Order, we all have fears in the back of our mind that, we're going to be tossed in jail. And I mean, I think about Congressman George Hansen and what happened to him. He's the first congressman that wrote a book. It was called To Harass Our People. It was about the IRS. They charged him with fraud relating to campaign finances, threw him in jail for 4 years, but during those 4 years, they kept him on the diesel run where they had him shackled so tightly that the shackles cut into his skin. They became infected. They gave him shoes that were too small so that his toenails, he had to rip his toenails out with pliers. He had to pull his own teeth. After 4 years, he was in such bad shape that, he finally was exonerated, and he actually went before his fellows in Congress and showed them what had happened to him. And now we've got Jim Traficant in there on charges. I mean, Jim
Traficant. I was just going to mention Traficant. I was.
Yeah, he's the one that alerted us in 93 that our country was bankrupt. And he told us exactly what was going to be happening right now. He read it into the congressional record. I've got a copy
exactly.
of it on Rumor Mill. He's still in federal prison. And nobody has organized a Help Jim Traficant. I mean, my God, he probably has spent more years in prison now than most child rapists spend in prison.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Whatever happened to the country that my forefathers fought to create?
Well, it's laws like this. It's laws like the Military Commissions Act, the National Defense Authorization Act. I mean, to go on further on the unlawful enemy combatant, it also states a person who, before, on, or after the date of the enactment of the Military Commissions Act of 2006, has been determined to be an unlawful enemy combatant. By whom? By a combat status review tribunal or other competent tribunal established by, guess who, under the authority of the President or the Secretary of Defense. So two people in this country can create a tribunal which will try you for being an unlawful combatant in this country. Now, they've already eliminated habeas corpus, so you can't say to the court, I'm in jail, I want to get out, what's the case against me?
Right.
And they can't use that legal thing to get out of jail if there's nothing been charges filed against them of any substance. And on top of that, it's now going to be a combatant status review tribunal, a military tribunal. So it is just incredible that this was allowed to happen. And these people passed this. These people are traitors. All these people that signed on to this bill are traitors.
I agree completely. I mean, I keep thinking, where are the white knights that are going to come riding out, you know, the cavalry, you know, and save us? They don't exist. They don't exist. I've got Ralph on the line. Do you feel like opening up? He's from Vancouver, B.C. I'm sure.
Sure
he's got a great question from the Canuck side of the field. Welcome, Ralph.
Hi there. I just saw your number on your website. I have a question that might be, I don't know if it's relevant or anything, but can you tell me what you know about Doris and E.J. Ecker and the Phoenix material?
No, it's not relevant, and I'm not going to talk about it. I'm going to have V.K. Durham on, and we will most certainly tell you about Doris and E.J. Ecker. In my opinion, they are responsible for the deaths of both of our husbands.
Okay.
And so if, Joe, if you'd like to disconnect this fellow, I don't know whether he's a troublemaker or whether
I'm not.
No, you really aren't, huh? But call back when V.K. Durham is on. Boy, is that something that could get my blood burning.
I could tell.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we should go on with the National Defense Authorization Act, because there's really another piece beyond that, which is the National Security Presidential Directive 51, which follows on to that National Defense Authorization Act. The thing that I hear constantly from people is, now that they know that there are actually brigades, or I'm not sure of military terms, but a piece of our army that is set to work with FEMA in our country. In other words, our military is now going to work as policemen in our country. Now, everybody's walking around saying, oh, that'll never happen. They can't do that. There's posse comitatus. Well, guess what? The National Defense Authorization Act of 2007 eliminated posse comitatus. What was posse comitatus? After the Civil War, people of the South were policed by the military from the North. And they did that for 15 years, and it was very brutal. And so eventually the Congress got itself together and created the Posse Comitatus Act, which prevented the military from policing our country. And they did allow the National Guard and the Coast Guard to remain under the umbrella of each governor. But the military, the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, of course there wasn't any Air Force back then, but they then were part of the federal control, and they were not to police in our country. And there was always that bright dividing line between the military and the policing of our country. That has now been eliminated, because posse comitatus does not exist, okay? And that was done away with in the National Defense Authorization Act. So, and of course, the other big thing about that is that where we're headed, the president can call out martial law now anytime he pleases for any reason. I mean, it's there's a laundry list that says, you know, that he, that, you know, why he can call out martial law. But the list has a, at the very end, it says, or for other reasons. So in other words, any reason the president
for
wants to name, he can call forth martial law.
And you know, the Electoral College has still not elected Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
There is still the question of whether he is even eligible to run according
mm-hmm.
to our Constitution. And I just found out that McCain, even though he was born on a military base, it was Congress that signed that law into being, that children born on military bases were natural-born citizens. It never went into the Constitution. It's not in the Constitution. Therefore, neither of these two people were qualified to run for president. What if Judge Souter, we were told on Tuesday by one of my co-hosts that Judge Souter had actually signed the bill and told Barack Obama to produce a real birth certificate by December 1st before the Electoral College meets. She got
mm-hmm.
this as inside information, it turns out, and it still hasn't made it to the newspaper yet. I have not been able
I've
to
seen
find
it.
You have
yeah,
seen
I've
that
seen
one.
Yeah, I've seen it. Oh, yes, I have seen it. Yes,
okay.
Souter said yes, show up December 1st, and et cetera. Yeah, I've seen it.
Okay, well, what if there is no birth certificate? I mean, because we look back to Obama, he was traveling in 1979 in Pakistan when Americans were forbidden to travel in Pakistan. I've been told that he was traveling on an Indonesian passport.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't think you get an Indonesian passport unless you're an Indonesian citizen.
Well, not only that, Americans at that time weren't permitted to travel there.
Exactly.
Because of tensions and war and this and that.
Yeah, exactly. So getting back to this posse comitatus, Bush has mm-hmm. already brought at least two, I don't know if it's platoons or,
right.
Two.
No, actually three. There was one, there's the original one that they announced 2 months back, and now there's another two. But you also have to understand that at the time, signing of this bill these two bills took place back on October 17th, 2006. At that time, a year prior to that, our military had created, it was called USA Army North, created a component, a command section that was based in Texas.
I just was told they're battalions. Three
battalions mm-hmm.
have been brought back. How many people in a battalion? Oh, my God, I can't even imagine.
Well, it doesn't matter. This is just the tip of the iceberg. When the doors open, you know, they'll use the whole army. They'll use the whole military against us.
Yeah.
You know, right after the Vietnam War, you know, the hell that went on over there, they had a situation where psychologically they knew that they asked the homecoming troops from there, would they be willing to fire on American citizens? And, of course, the largest majority said absolutely not. And so since that time, the ending of the Vietnam War, they have propagandized, brainwashed, put into their program psychological maneuverings to get the people in the military to come more onto their way of thinking that anytime they're ordered, they'll fire on American citizens. They've worked on that, and very hard.
And I am afraid that that is true, because the military is pretty isolated at times.
Mm-hmm.
And if, you know, if they were, you know, all called back to the base, no television, no nothing, and the only information they're getting is from their officers, they could be told that, hey, we've got a homegrown revolution, we've got revolutionaries in the street, they've got a dirty bomb, we've got to get in there, we've got to get it. And of course, all it could be is a bunch of Ron Paul supporters, you know, rallying in support of Ron Paul. And yet the Army would come in and take them all out.
Well, here's the actual law from the National Defense Authorization Act. This is the conditions under which the president, any president, it doesn't matter who's in there, can bring forth martial law. And this is the quote right out of the law, the National Defense Authorization Act. It said, during a natural disaster, Hurricane Katrina, an epidemic, a bird flu, serious public health emergency, whatever that could be a dirty bomb, a terrorist attack, and then it says, or other conditions. So in other words, the president at any time, he can claim that we're incapable of maintaining public order. Think about FEMA here in New Orleans.
Exactly.
And what they deliberately left that careen out of, the FEMA thing down in New Orleans was an absolute Illuminati plan to let things careen out of order to see how much chaos they could create. Here's another thing. A lot of people think that the illegal aliens are here to provide cheap labor for the Republican corporate structure and votes for the Democrats, okay, and to fill up Catholic church pews. That's another one that I've heard. I will tell you that I do not believe any of those three things. I believe the 30 million plus illegal alien invasion of this country was created that when we do, and of course they plan sometimes 100 years in advance, any kind of an economic downturn, the people on the lowest totem pole of the economic system are going to be out of jobs, and they're going to be out on the streets. And what do you think? Think back to the time when the illegals, by the hundreds of thousands, hit our street. What do you think will happen when they're all out of work?
Absolutely.
They're going to create chaos, and that will be the trigger for martial law.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
I couldn't agree with you more. There's so many different ways that martial law could be triggered. I mean, quite honestly, I was really fearing that we were going to have a gigantic earthquake right about now, you know, that would throw the California into complete chaos. And it would have happened, you know, before the election, which would have meant California's 54 electoral college votes would never have been counted. And so, all of us are feeling, you know, we're all walking on eggshells right now. We're going, what's the next shoe that's going to drop? What are they going to hit us with now?
Right.
And
we're all waiting to exhale. That's my favorite expression.
We are.
I also wrote a little bit about HAARP, H-A-A-R-P.
Yes.
And I believe that the major earthquake that happened in China a few months back, it is my personal belief that was a HAARP-done event. There are factors which allow you to tell, and I'm sure China knows well this, and they've accused the United States of a HAARP attack, by the way. One of the major calamities that happened over there was this whole mountain was literally reduced to rubble, and inside of it was major atomic weapons that belonged to the Chinese. So I think that was part of the target.
Oh, anyway, interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I have pictures of it in my, I have an archive on my website called Newsletter Archive.
Yes.
If you go in there, it's the second archive from the top. I don't remember the title of it. But in that, piece, it said that they had destroyed that one whole mountain. But there is a signature with HAARP, vibrational earthbound signal that lets you know whether you've been hit with a real earthquake or a HAARP earthquake. And, of course, there was all those videos of people, Chinese people, and I saw the videos, looking at these clouds that came just before the actual shaking of the ground. And there were these clouds, and they were the colors of rainbows.
Yes,
and that was like a signature for a HAARP attack. Plus, if you look at the underground vibrational path of the earthquake, it does not travel through the earth the way a real earthquake does. A HAARP event does not do that. So the Chinese know. They have that equipment. They've detected that. They know exactly what happened.
Absolutely.
So they were hit with that, you know.
Yeah,
you know.
I don't really know why I don't know why the Chinese were hit with that, but I did think that it was in.
Oh, I have a good idea.
Okay, what?
I think it had to do with them dumping trillions of dollars on the, trillions of dollars of our dollar-pegged stock market things. Like, you know, the Chinese actually own about a third or more of our mortgages in this country.
Yeah,
and that whole mortgage debacle, well, okay. The Chinese said, you know, we're going to get out of the dollar. Well, that would absolutely devastate us because they're holding about, I don't know, $2-3 trillion of our debt. And if they dumped that stuff on the market, what do you think that would do to the dollar?
Well, the dollar.
So I think that was like a wake-up call to China. You do that, and we do this, you know?
Oh, boy. Well, why did they do the one in Pakistan? I'm certain we did that one, too. Is it because Barack Obama wants to go to war in Pakistan, and we're just letting them know, if you don't let us go into those mountains and kill all the Taliban, this is what's going to happen to you?
Well, part of it was that they objected to coming over the border with those border provinces in Pakistan from Afghanistan.
Right.
Which is supposedly where the Taliban is, et cetera. I don't know. It might be on a poppy route. Who knows? and they didn't like being told, you know, that you can't come here because the United States thinks they can go anywhere and do anything they want. The military does.
We're
not
the Hessians. We should be allowed to go anywhere.
Yeah.
That's what the Lords of Londinium believe.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the ones, in my opinion, that are actually running these heart machines. Oh, boy.
It's very possible. If you read the history of our country and when the Civil War was a war that was created. If you really know the Civil War, if you just read the two latest books they put out on Lincoln, it's enough to make your hair stand on end.
Oh, God.
But a lot of Hessians were imported here specifically to fight in that war, but there was also a lot of communists.
Mm-hmm.
People that were supposed to be hung in Britain for the 1848 communist wave that went across Europe, and they were supposed to hang. They were instead their sentences were commuted. They were sent to Australia, and most of them ended up in our country. And they didn't end up as Joe Smith down the block. They were generals of our armies, governors of our states and provinces in Canada.
I can fully believe it. Dr. Peterson, we're just about at the end of the hour. Would you like to give out some contact information so people can reach you?
Sure. You can go on my website, stopthenorthamericanunion.com. I have contact information there. You can sign up for my newsletter, and hopefully you'll come and read some of the material there. It's all well documented and very informative. Anybody that is a beginner or novice in the North American Union, they should start out with Treason Abounds, Government Cabal Plots, North American Union. If you really want to understand the game plan, you read the EU and the NAU, two peas in a pod, because that's because of what they did in the EU, they're doing here, step by step. It's like a blueprint. And then if you really want to understand what I talked about today, you read the two acts of tyranny on the same day.
Dr. Peterson, I can't thank you enough for being a guest. And there is so much more that I want to talk to you about. Will you agree to come back soon?
Oh, of course.
Oh, great. I'll give you a call. And hang on, because we're going to be interviewing an astrologer that can tell you why you've been feeling so out of sorts, depressed, on edge, et cetera, et cetera. But right at the moment, I've got to go sweep out this country store for a few minutes. Company store, excuse me.